Expectation can be a double-edged sword. It can really enhance a great moment when we look forward to something. We anticipate it, and our expectations are met or exceeded. Perhaps you can think of the last time that you were looking forward to a movie. And when you went to see it, it met your expectations. It blew you away. You walked out with a sense of maybe some joy and satisfaction. That was just as good as I was hoping it would be. But expectation can also be the greatest obstacle to our happiness. Imagine going to a football game when you expect to go to a play, or biting into a tofu burger when you were expecting beef, or going to mass and expecting a pep rally. In each case, you're going to be disappointed. Not only will you not get what you were looking for, you will completely miss out on another kind of good thing, a different kind of happiness, a new form of joy. And so it's a double loss. So yes, expectations are useful, but also dangerous. And this parable features a vineyard, an owner of a vineyard who hires some temporary workers to pick the grapes. Going out before dawn, he finds workers and offers them the usual daily wage. Let's translate that to $10 an hour. But he needs more workers, so he goes out four more times. But each time, he only promises them what is just. He doesn't give them a number. So what ends up happening is that we have a few guys who work a 12-hour shift, while some work 9, 6, 3, or even 1 hour. Now, if you spent 12 hours working for a rate of $10 an hour, you would expect to be paid $120. But then imagine the guys in front of you, the ones who worked only 1 hour. They get to the foreman and he hands them $120. So $10 an hour is not the worst wage in the world, but $120 for a single hour is pretty dang good. Now, if you saw something like that happen right in front of you, what would you expect when the boss man got to you with the wad of cash in his hand? Well, that's where the workers are at this moment. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'd probably do the same thing and expect something more than the agreed wage. So when they only hands them $120, they say, "That's not fair." Unfazed and without missing a beat, the boss reminds these workers about their contract. $10 an hour, no lies or deceits. You knew going in that was what I planned to pay you. And that should have been your expectation. Because justice and fairness have nothing to do with a man choosing to give extra money to a few workers. But then he asks them an interesting question. Are you envious because I am generous? In Greek, it literally says, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" The word "I" is important because of what it implies. This landowner is good and generous, but envy has warped the perception of the workers. They have gotten their vision distorted and allowed their expectations to change without good reason. And now they not only don't have the satisfaction of being paid fairly, but they're actually upset at getting what they're owed. And they completely miss out on something much more valuable than the paycheck. Because if you think about it, this is a parable. Something about the story is always a little different to tell us there's something more here. And we look at the way that this man handles the payment. Why pay the last guys first? Surely he would have known that somebody working 12 hours would be upset to see the guy working 1 hour make the same amount of money. So why show them? why do it right in front of them? Why not pay the 12-hour guys first and let them go home and keep the rest of the payment secret, like your company does now? They're not going to tell you how much they pay everybody on the staff. Why invite the trouble? Because this landowner wants them to see the generosity. He wants to challenge their expectations, to give them a chance to see the world in a different way. Instead of the cold, hard calculations of justice, he wants them to see that these men need a daily wage to make a living. He wants them to see that the only reason they weren't working all day is that no one hired them and they didn't have the chance. He wants them to see that even though the amount of work they've done is different, they are still equal in their dignity and value to him. And of course, this parable is not about the money. Jesus is not here to teach us that business owners should pay everyone the same regardless of how much they work. This parable, this metaphorical way of teaching us a deeper truth, is about the kingdom of heaven. Because the truth is, anyone who is working for God and his kingdom when they die will get eternal life. If you are a super saint who spends 70 years working for the kingdom of God, when you die, you get to live forever in heaven. If you convert in the last 3.5 seconds of life, when you die, you get to live forever in heaven. Why? Because God is generous and merciful, and we should be generous and merciful as well. But these men, these 12-hour workers, miss the lesson in generosity because they are blinded by a false expectation. So be careful about what you expect. Sometimes the anticipation is good, but too often they become the problem. So how do we manage our expectations? The simple way: don't allow yourself to form an expectation unless it is given to you by someone who is both reliable and knows what they're talking about. Often enough, we form expectations based on past experience, and that works most of the time. But everything and everyone in this world is changing, and so the future will sometimes be different from the past. If you're going to have an expectation of the future based on what's happened in the past, hold on to it lightly and be ready for it to change. Then we often, sadly, form expectations for no good reason at all. Our imagination gets carried away with us. Ask any priest about crazy expectations and he'll tell you. It's surprising what people expect for a wedding or a funeral or all kinds of church-related functions, and sometimes for things that have nothing to do with the church, but somehow they expect the priest to do something for it. They get mad when we don't meet these expectations, and we have no idea where they're coming from. But then they never have the chance to experience what the church is offering. And so there's a double loss. And finally, we often form expectations because people tell us to expect something. Maybe they hype up a movie, talk about a new restaurant. But if they're exaggerating or lying, we might be disappointed. And sometimes it will happen with our faith. People will tell us certain things about God or religion, and we'll believe them. And they might be sincere and well-meaning. But too often, they are simply wrong through ignorance or misunderstanding. Yes, we can and should have certain expectations about God and about the church and about our relationship with our fellow believers. But we should only form that expectation based on trustworthy and knowledgeable sources. Even priests and bishops can lie or get things wrong. But that doesn't mean that nothing is true, that we have nothing to expect. We look to the guidance of the church. We look to the example of the saints and the teaching of Scripture. They tell us what we should expect, and they are reliable and know what they are talking about. And I can tell you to expect this much. God is merciful and generous, so expect him to be so. But remember that his thoughts and his ways are far above our own thoughts and ways. So we should also expect that his mercy, his generosity, his love is going to shatter our expectations. So go to work for God. Work in his vineyard for the kingdom. Trust him that he will not only be fair, but exorbitantly generous with you. But then also expect to be surprised. Surprised by love.